Hello, welcome to episode 16.
16, that's 1-6.
Yes,
6-6.
It's, for us, it's Halloween, so this is going to be a spooky episode.
Even though for you it's over, but for us we live in the past.
So on this episode we're going to talk about the New York terrorist attack and some other quick news updates.
Yeah, so it's going to get a little down, then we're going to get into some Middle Eastern lore and spooky supernatural creatures of that culture, along with some other ghost stories.
Yes, it'll be nice and creepy. And then we're going to cheer up with a bunch of excellence minutes, because that's the way we know how to do it.
Yeah, because we're going to end on a good note, because this world isn't all going to hell, at least not yet. Stay
yes.
tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pets? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi!
Hello!
Boo! Just kidding.
Just kidding. You're going to be listening to this when it's not Halloween, but for us...
It's Hallow's Eve. Ween?
It's Halloween today. It's the 31st.
Right, that's what I said. I said exactly that. I did not say anything else. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not crazy. You're crazy.
It's Halloween for us, but you're living in the future, so, you don't really, it doesn't matter if you listen to this on Halloween or not, but we're going to bring up some spooky stuff later in the episode, so stay tuned for that.
That's right. This is going to be a very spooky episode. Episode. So after we touch on some very serious news, then we'll get into some spooky Middle Eastern ghost stuff.
Mischief.
Yes. So
before we do that, though, some shitty stuff happened today, like every day, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I just burped. Okay.
So New York.
This is Halloween Day. This is the day that a crazy truck driver drove into a bike lane and killed 8 people in Manhattan.
Yeah. And authorities found a note written in English that claimed that the person responsible did it in the name of ISIS. So the note was found in the truck that was used for the attack. 8 people were killed and almost a dozen others were injured. The man rented a flatbed pickup and drove down a busy bicycle path, and he was near the World Trade Center.
Right. And the suspect, who's this a man from Uzbekistan,
29 years old.
29 years old. He was yelling, Allahu Akbar, according to 4 law enforcement sources. And, he left a note basically saying that it was done for ISIS. So
yeah.
It is for sure a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
That much we know.
And he came to the U.S. in 2010. And he most recently lived in New Jersey. So maybe that explains how angry he was. I'm just kidding. Sorry, that's...
No, I think that explains it. He's 29 years old. Did we say his name yet? I don't remember, because that is how professional I am.
He was shot by police, and apparently he's out of surgery now, and the officers were able to talk to him before the surgery, and we don't know if they said anything to him or if he said anything to them, but he's not dead. So maybe we'll learn more about exactly why he did this, if there's more to it than that. I mean, I think it's kind of, I just hate when these young brown men have to prove scared white people right and do stuff in the name of ISIS, because, like, I know we're not doing so hot in the media right now, us brown people and Middle Easterners, so I just don't appreciate when y'all prove them right. So reel it in.
Yeah, so CNN terrorism analyst Paul Cruikshank, nice name, he says there has been a significant problem with jihadism in Uzbekistan. So there are 2 large jihadi groups in the country. One of them is the Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan, which is affiliated with ISIS. So in April, an Uzbek man was arrested after a truck attack killed 4 people in Stockholm. So I guess this is a thing now. Uzbekistan
has... trend.
decided they are now also going to terrorize America.
Because there's not enough things that are wrong with the world.
Right, so we don't know too much more because it just happened and we're, like, really just getting information as it comes out.
It's kind of scary, though, like, when I realized something wrong was happening was when my friends on Facebook started to check in that they were safe in New York. And I was like, fuck, like, what is happening now? It's just so, it's crazy. And, stay safe out there. And, it's kind of crazy because I can't tell you, like, stay home and keep your doors locked, because literally you can be walking down the street and a truck could plow through you. So, it's a scary world out there, and not just on Halloween. So be safe and just don't let the world get you down like it did me.
Yeah. What a day. What a Halloween. Do you think he planned it for Halloween?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he thought everyone would be like, I don't know. I have no idea just what this guy was thinking in his head. I don't want to know. So yeah, that's some fucked up shit.
According to The Independent, the suspect has been identified by U.S. media as Seifulo Seipov, which is concerning because it's very close to my own father's name, whose name is Seifola. And
oh,
this guy's
no.
name is Seifulo, spelled differently, but similar idea. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Do
tell
not want
dad,
to connect that with my father.
Yeah, tell your dad to not say his name out loud.
The man stopped saying his name out loud around the year 2001, around, I don't know, September.
Oh, that's an interesting coincidence.
Beginning of September, my father was like, I'm Steve. I'm just joking. He didn't really. But he, maybe he did. I don't know.
Well, my dad's Sam, so they can get along great.
Yeah, Steve and Sam. Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Boy. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
In other news, Twitter banned Russia Today and Sputnik ads because of all of the talk about Russia's interference.
Yeah, according to the news site that his name I can't remember, probably CNN, 126 million Facebook users were affected by Russian ads.
Wow.
That's a lot of fucking people.
What do they qualify as affected?
Like, they saw it and probably, like, somehow interacted with it, maybe? I don't know.
That's insane.
It's pretty insane. Well,
yeah.
Shit.
So, U.S. authorities say both of those accounts are acting as a platform for Kremlin messaging. And the social media giant Twitter will donate an estimated $1.9 million made from the outlets into research on Twitter's use in quote-unquote civic engagement and elections. Well, I'm still a little pissed at Twitter anyways for letting Trump still have one, so.
Yeah.
But Mr. Trump still denies there was any collusion.
That's why, this is my favorite part, that's why his former Trump campaign manager, Paul Manafort, is being indicted by old Mueller dog.
Mueller dog!
Yeah, so that's interesting if there was no collusion. I mean, there's no direct connection as of yet, but the reason Manafort got picked up is because he was helping some Ukrainian leaders get into office, and then this motherfucker, George Papadopoulos, who they claim is not involved with the Trump campaign, that he was just some volunteer, even though there's literally an audio clip of Trump being like, George Papadopoulos, a great guy, excellent guy. So, yeah. He's somehow involved. I guess he went to the special advisory committee or whatever and said that he has connections in Russia and could do stuff.
Yeah.
So, super interesting.
Yeah, and Manafort allegedly wired a bunch of money overseas and was doing some super shady stuff in New York. Just like things that you don't want your advisor to do, let alone a person to do. But Manafort and Gates, I'm talking about Richard Gates, because it's alleged that they received tens of millions of dollars for their Ukraine work to hide the income that they received from that, and they laundered the money through scores of the United States and foreign corporations, partnerships, and bank accounts. And they have a very lavish lifestyle, and they use that money from the offshore accounts to pay for their mortgages, their children's tuition, and stuff like that. So it's kind of crazy just when people with this much money, like how it all comes about, and just their shamelessness when it comes to dealing with it. Robert Mueller was named special prosecutor on May 17th, and the indictment focuses on an entity first created by Manafort in 2005 for political consulting called Davis Manafort Partners. In 2011, Manafort created the DMP International, or DMI it's called now, and began consulting, lobbying, and public relations for Ukraine. So he's saying that they were directly involved in colluding with Russia. And you know what? It's probably right, because Trump sucks and everything's a lie.
Yeah. Oh! Scary.
Yeah, I don't know. This episode feels strange to me for some reason. I don't know if it's Halloween. I don't know if it's just my soul is dead. I mean, I'm okay. I'm fine.
I'm fine! Sorry.
Maybe we should talk about some spooky stuff. Anna, has anything ever supernatural? Can I say that word right? Supernatural happened to you before?
Well, one time a ghost touched my butt.
Wait,
just
really?
Kidding. No, what? Wait, really? Like, that wouldn't have bothered. I would have been like, oh my God, ghost. I'm calling the police.
No, but really, harassment. Has anything ever happened?
One time my cat looked me in the eye and actually said the words, be careful.
Anna, I'm being serious.
No, nothing supernatural has ever happened to me.
Everyone always has some cool stories that happened to them, or like something they can't explain. Or
one time, like, a chair just kind of like floated up in front of me and was thrown at me.
Anna.
I just keep making up supernatural things. Well, one time, like, a ghost came out of nowhere and said, like, my butt looked big in those jeans. And I was like, this ghost thinks
I'm
fat.
Oh, my God. Well,
no, nothing supernatural has ever happened to me. I live a boring life.
Well, I...
Except for the cat thing. The cat thing definitely happened.
Were you on any drugs at the time?
I mean, like, you didn't ask about drugs. I'm just joking. No, nothing ever happens to me. My life is so boring.
That's not true. Your life's exciting and
that's not true
full
at all.
Of life. Mm. You were on a boat one time. That's exciting. In retrospect.
I was on a boat one time. Okay. My life is riveting.
I grew up Muslim and went to Saturday school and learned all about the Quran. My family's Muslim. My parents are Muslim. So growing up, I learned about these creatures called the jinn. And jinn they have terrified me since I was a child. I learned about them when I was very young, and they have freaked me out ever since. What are jinn? Well, in Middle Eastern and Muslim culture, jinn actually show up in the Quran. Because they're mentioned quite frequently in the Quran, and there's a passage in the Quran called Surat al-Jinn, and the jinn, together with the humans and the angels, are considered to be the three sentient beings created by God. Why is this so freaky? Well, it's freaky to me because jinn are invisible to humans, but they can see us. So growing up, I would imagine all these creatures being able to see me and watching me sleep or watching me shower or something, and I can't do anything about it. And no one knows what they actually look like, because in Arabic, jinn is loosely translated to mean hidden from sight or to hide or to be hidden.
That's scary.
And while they're referenced very frequently in the Quran, the word has some pre-Islamic history to it, and markings in northwestern Arabia before Islam even happened, they refer to the worshipping of the jinn or the genie, or this tributary status that they had. But in Islamic times, they are seen as very similar to humans because they have their own free will. Angels, on the other hand, don't have their own free will. Humans and jinn in the Quran have their own free will, and they live in communities similar to humans, but often in remote locations or even in the air. They have customs, they have laws, they have kings and queens, and even mourning rituals. And the Quran says on the Day of Judgment, even the jinn will be judged and sent to leave either in paradise or in hell, depending on their actions, because they have free will and they will be judged on that. djinn, because they have free will, often dictate their actions as either good or evil, and some will aid humans while others will delight in provoking or harming them, and we can do anything about it because they're invisible as fuck, and that's creepy as shit. They have freaked me out my whole life. It's so scary.
They're like ghosts. Persian or Middle Eastern ghosts.
But the thing that's the thing that would freak me out is that, like, they have their own communities. Like, right here in the studio, this can be someone's house. Or some shit.
What?
I don't know. I just...
what are you saying?
But it's just, it's really, it's interesting to me also because I've always been someone that loves sci-fi. I love the unexplained. I have very intense deja vu and very intense dreams. So something that I can't explain has always fascinated me. But what this brings up is also the idea of alternate dimensions. Because djinn, because we can't see them, they live in this alternate dimension that we're not able to access.
Yeah, this takes me back to the time my mom was like, hey, just read the Quran. It's no big. Check it out. And then I read it, and then I had nightmares for 10 years. Because it's all about, like, these dudes being like, if you're bad...
Oh, my God. It's not like that.
I'll pull you down. Oh, that first part is, though. Chapter 1.
Chapter 1 of the Quran. So it's interesting because they're supernatural spirits that live in this unseen dimension of the universe that is beyond human sight. So not only are we incapable of seeing it because we're dumb little monkeys, but they're existing and thriving and taunting us. And djinn, even though the word sounds similar to genie, they have nothing to do with genies, even though English maybe translates that to genie sometimes. But they have deep roots in Arab culture, and they first, before Islam, they were in ancient Arabian and Persian, and Arab storytellers would talk about them. And they gained more notoriety, I would say, when they appear throughout the tales, like in 1001 Nights, which is...
It's a tale of Scheherazade.
Scheherazade.
Yes.
We grew up being like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy because some people can create, they think that it's necessary to create protection against djinn. So you can have a talisman, or in Sufi circles, they call it a taweez. And that will aid in the protection of a spiritual evil, because these djinn have their own free will and they can taunt you or haunt you. I don't want to say haunt because it's not like they're dead. They're alive in their own world.
In the upside down. JK, that's a Stranger Things reference.
Yeah.
It's like the Iranian upside, or not the Iranian, the Middle Eastern upside down. That's where the djinn are.
It's so crazy. It freaks me out so... I just remember being a kid and thinking, like, djinn were everywhere, and I couldn't do anything, or they would see me, and, like, I would feel shamed and, like, just creeped out. And I'm, like, I'm kind of an unlucky person. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that out loud. I don't want to have, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy or whatever. But I fall down a lot. And
what's that behind you?
I fall down a lot, or, like, weird shit happens to me all the time. So it's almost like a djinn is following me around, just, like, playing this, like, infinitely dumb joke on me. It's just not fair. But, yeah, djinn, if you want to learn more about this stuff, you can check out the links that are in the info box and everything. But also, it's just, like, really interesting and fascinating because you think... you're alone, but you're not, and the djinn are watching.
Okay. So there's a Qarin, which is a personal djinn that's like, it exists in a different parallel djinn realm, just like all other djinns.
So yeah,
but this is like that demon djinn that sits on your shoulder. Excuse me, I just keep burping. The demon djinn that sits on your shoulder and convinces you to do evil things. So it's like, Shireen, pour water on Anna's crotch so it makes it looks like she peed.
What?
I don't know. I was just trying to think of something evil you could do to me.
So we're going through a list now that are supernatural Middle Eastern creatures. Djinn were the first on this list that we're going through. The list will be provided in the links.
The Qarin is like the evil djinn devil.
Yeah, and so djinn was the only one I really heard about on this list because it's in the Quran and I was like kind of raised on those stories. But the rest of them are very obscure in my experience, and they're so interesting. And the next one is called a phallic, F-A-L-A-K, not phallic, like looks like a dick, even though it is a snake. It's a creature rumored to inhabit the underworld that will come out when the world ends. It looks like a snake, and it's huge. His job is to torture sinners after the world ends. Jesus Christ. Ugh. It's like Jafar! It's like Jafar.
Jaffa. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, this next one's creepy as shit.
This next one is the Nesnas. Nesnas. I don't know if I'm saying any of these right. So the Nesnas, it comes in like, it looks like a man, but it's divided down the middle with one half is completely missing, and it has a tail of a lamb. It originates from the Hadramaut region of Yemen. Apparently you don't ever want to come across one of them because it's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, there's like a drawing here that is a sketch of what one would look like, and it is creepy. It's like the Arab Slender Man, but really hairy.
Yeah, he is like an Arab Slender Man.
But very hairy, even in this drawing.
Woof, 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 woof.
The next thing on this list are ghouls. The name El Ghul derives from Arabic from Ra's al Ghul, which... Also, nerds out there, Batman, bad guy. But Ra's al Ghul means head of the ogre. The English name, Demon Star, is a direct translation. Ghouls are thought to be zombie-like djinn who haunt the graveyards and prey on human flesh. They are strictly demonic and incapable of goodness. They're often portrayed as nocturnal. It's interesting that... they're describing all of these different creatures as different kinds of djinn. Because in my experience, I'm going to take this with a grain of salt, though, because djinn, it's separate from what this is. Djinn is like an entity that's described in the Quran as being sentient, and this is just a demon. So those are different for me. But yeah, moving on.
These are also nocturnal. Did you say that?
Yeah.
Ugh, damn it. Every time. And they're in graveyards? Just like a ghoul.
Yeah, I mean...
What makes a Middle Eastern, you know?
That's it. I just said it was a ghoul.
I know, but, like, I mean, now it's just, like... But it's, like, a ghoul, like, in the American sense, like, a ghoul.
Well, maybe they originated in the Arab world. Maybe?
Whoa.
I don't know.
Right. Okay. Well, next one is the Efrit. These ones are apparently really smart, and they're cunning, and they, like, live in complex societies, which are basically just like us. We live in complex societies. But they do prefer caves and... like underground dwellings, if you will. They're very demonic. But they're portrayed as being able to change and are capable of doing so and being like pious and good. But like, always be careful who you can trust.
Interesting.
The Efrit is interesting, but you must not trust it.
I don't know if I'm going to believe a lot of these. This next one's called a Werehyena.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Be scared of the werehyena.
Werehyenas are humans who turn into hyenas, just like werewolves, except for hyenas. The mystical creature is larger than a hyena and can stand on two legs. Like a werewolf, bitch.
All according to stepfeed.com.
Maybe not the most accurate one.
Werehyena is the funniest thing
in
the world.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever read.
It's pretty cool, though. It's a werewolf hyena. I mean, we knew it was bound to happen.
So just like a werewolf with a really gross laugh.
It's like, oh, God. Okay. The next one is the Al-Anka. Wow. Just so problematic in my pronunciations. This creature is nothing to do about with demons, but it's a supernatural one. It looks like a giant bird, and it can fly away. It can carry anything from animals, humans. It's basically like an eagle. the name is Arabic, and it means the one with the long neck. And it's mentioned in ancient Arab legends and books, such as marvels of things created and miraculous aspects of things existing, which is the most literal title of something.
I want that book.
That's a pretty tight book.
I want that book.
But yeah, you know, it's just like a giant bird. It kind of looks maybe like a phoenix a little.
Yeah, definitely.
It looks like it's rising from the ashes. But yeah, so like try not to get picked up by it.
Yeah, or never going to come back. The next one is called the El Bahmut. What is this? This is something in Arab legends. Arab legends describe this creature as a giant whale that carries seven Earths on its back. The seven Earths on its back. In other stories, it's described as an elephant or a seahorse.
Hmm. A whale that carries seven Earths on its back.
That's
now, this one is probably the most believable.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a little too heavy for me to understand or really think about. But I think you just don't want it. I just want to fuck with it.
The next one's also a giant bird.
The next one is the Al Ruh. Oh shit, it's huge. This one can literally pick up an elephant. It's a giant bird capable of carrying massive things, aka elephant, rhinoceros, your house. It's a mythical creature that was once mentioned in one of Sinbad's stories in Scheherazade's The Thousand and One Nights.
Ooh.
Do you think Sinbad and Scheherazade ever hooked up?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, those are just some creatures that we found lurking in Middle Eastern lore.
Yeah.
But, the one I really recommend you guys looking up is the djinn. Seriously, those guys are freaky as fuck, and they're real-ish, because they're talked about so much in Muslim text, and it's not even that they're not even evil, they're just creepy, because they're always there. And I'm a little scarred from my childhood thinking that they were always watching me, so please join me in my fear, and yeah.
Creepy. Okay, so I want to talk about some haunted places in the Middle East now.
Dun, dun, dun.
And these are places that have existed for thousands of years. So here's a few places. Mount Sinai, which is in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. This is where Moses is alleged to have received the Ten Commandments from God.
Dun, dun,
it's
dun.
Haunted by...
Holy haunted!
By Moses? I don't know.
The ghost of Moses lives on Mount Sinai.
Moses. Sounds like Don... What's the guy's name who does the SNL voice who died?
Oh,
Yeah.
Well, okay, but it says that these places are not so much haunted, but very spiritual. So there's something you feel when you go there. So it's not that they're haunted, but there's something
they're haunted
holy.
By spirituality.
Yeah.
Mount Ararat, which is in eastern Turkey. It's very important because it's a symbol of Armenian culture. And in addition, in addition, the Bible mentions the mountains of Ararat as the resting spot of Noah's Ark.
Cute.
Never knew that.
Me either.
Huh.
It's both in the Bible, that's why.
Mm. Yeah, that's why I didn't know about it.
Mount
Arafat, not to be confused with Mount Ararat, is near Mecca in Saudi Arabia, our favorite place. Mm. It's a very small mountain, more like a large hill.
Thank you for that.
It says on this website.
In parentheses.
By the way, I'm finding this all off on a WordPress site called Tahal Torf, which is 31 Days of Ghosts. Anyway, it's a small mountain where Muhammad is supposed to have given his farewell sermon 72 days before his death. And it remains an important part of the Hajj, which is the pilgrimage, the Islamic pilgrimage that takes place in Mecca, which every Muslim is supposed to take at least once in their lifetime. Anyway, here's some other... spooky places. So the Afghan Tajikistan border, the Hindu Kush Mountains. Holy shit, that's weed. Hindu Kush. That's funny. Wow. Okay. Sorry. Is that where that weed's from? The Hindu Kush? Okay.
Mm.
So the Ail, A-I-L, it's a feminine-looking entity with floating hair, pale eyes resembling milky white orbs, and glacier-pale skin that are said to inhabit this region whenever the sun rises so high that you cannot see your own shadow
or like at twilight.
So even though they normally go on about their business, it is best to treat them with respect since the Ail are known to be quite violent and hostile. That is why you almost never see any villagers or nomads out during the day.
Huh. During these times of day.
Yeah. AKA, it's probably just really hot, and they're like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But also, I guess they're trying to avoid a spiritual creature in the Hindu Kush Mountains who's probably so high, man, 420, woo!
Interesting. Okay. Feminine-looking entity with floating hair.
Now, this is also a creepy one. Kabul University.
This is more, like, modern creepy.
Yeah, this is just
this brings it home.
Fucked up. So it has been told that some of the abandoned dorms and abandoned classrooms were used by the Taliban to torture and kill whom dare defy them. While some foreign aid workers were helping out on rebuilding Kabul University, it was said by many that they smelled the foul scent of rotting flesh, feces, and other bodily waste. Others said that they saw entities of the victims that were tortured to death by the Taliban or heard screaming and crying in pain when there was no one there.
Ah!
That's pretty freaky tiki.
That is creepy.
Yes.
That's creepy. So, don't go to Kabul University. Stay away. That's
some creepy little things going on in Middle Eastern culture.
Yeah.
Oh,
the creepiest,
boy.
Though, is how we're all racially profiled and one dumb idiot proves them all right by running a train truck into a group of people. I hate everything.
Yeah, you could argue that guy's a djinn.
Yeah. No, you can't because he's visible.
Sure, he's a human djinn.
He's not, you know, that's not how it works.
He's a human gin and tonic. Thank you for laughing at that.
That wasn't okay. So, yeah, I think because the world gets me down and gets us all down, we wanted to dedicate a big chunk of this episode to excellence and people that are doing excellent things and are getting recognized and that should be getting more recognition. So, let's start off with Excellence Hour.
Pew, 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 pew.
Brah, brah, brah. Okay, let's, I'm going to start with this. The WWE just signed its first female wrestlers from the Arab and Indian worlds. What? Kavita Devi is the first female Indian wrestler to sign with WWE, and Shadia Basiso is the first woman from the Arab world to join the company as well. These women came from most conservative countries, so their presence in WWE arena is also about breaking cultural taboos regarding gender. Shadia is a jiu-jitsu expert who wants to encourage more Arab women to get into the sport. Dope! Wait, I want to see what country she's from. I forgot.
That is tight.
That is so cool.
I didn't know that.
I just really love when Arab women in particular do something that kind of defies the expectations that are put upon them. She's Jordanian. Not only is she a jiu-jitsu athlete and a professional wrestler, she's also a Jordanian TV presenter. So, dope. Good job, WWE. About time. I'm glad that we're getting more females, let alone brown, beautiful females, into these dope athletic arenas, because that's badass.
Bang. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I made that noise, but I'm into it.
Yeah. And Kavita, the player from India, or the athlete from India, she was a former kabaddi player in high school who learned her ring skills from her mentor, a former WWE heavyweight champion, the great Kali, Dalip Singh Rana. Yeah, so they're both saying it's a huge privilege to be the first of their ethnicity in WWE, and they want to encourage more young women to not be afraid of going against to break gender stereotypes, not be afraid, and also it's just great to get visibility out there. So, yeah, it's pretty great.
That is great. Congratulations.
Kavita and Shadia.
Shadia. Kavita and Shadia.
Yeah.
Tight.
So excellence for you. Do you want to do the next one?
Sure. Dr. Kefaya Abdul Malek was named Most Inspirational Arab Woman. There was a ceremony in partnership with the Hyatt Breast Cancer Foundation, and it honored inspiring Arab women who were selected to win the awards, various categories in recognition for their outstanding contributions across the fields, including business, arts, philanthropy, and medicine. And this year it went to, this year they acknowledge inventor Hawra Al-Khalaf, who created the new technology for hearing impaired patients to alert them if their babies are in distress. Artist Alia Farid, who recently had her first solo exposition in Paris, and Dr. Kafia Abdul Malik, who was named Inspirational Arab Woman of the Year 2017 for her outstanding work in the field of medicine. So those are three women who are fucking killing it.
Yeah. This article that we are getting all this information from, it's from ArabianBusiness.com, but it lists a bunch of other women that were in attendance at this event, and they're all so fucking dope and doing their own things. And the event was also used to highlight these women and also get awareness for like more. I think all the proceeds went to the Breast Cancer Foundation, so that's really cool. And it's funny because this article mentions that there was a unique 3-course meal created by the Four Seasons Hotel Kuwait that was served there. And that sounds really tasty. The private event was attended by over 250 dignitaries, including members of the Kuwait royal family, ambassadors, doctors, leading businesswomen, and winners, and their families. So, first of all, I'm just glad that this event exists.
Yeah.
And second, I'm just glad that these women are getting recognition and, again, just putting their faces out there, getting that representation out there, and just continuing to kill it and inspiring women like me and everyone else out there. So, props! Bam, 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 bam!
One other excellence thing that's... It's kind of an excellence thing, but Saudi Arabia is finally going to start letting women into sports stadiums to watch sports.
Wow.
That's a big thing for them because women aren't allowed to do anything.
Yeah, I saw that. It's about time.
Yeah, so that's cool. I'm not going to go too much further into detail because it's Saudi Arabia, so who knows if it's really from the heart or just, you know. I mean, it's all Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, trying to be, like, progressive and shit. So, I mean, time will tell how they decide to really, truly treat women.
Yeah, but, I mean, it seems like a step in the right direction, so...
It does.
So let's cross our fingers and hope for the best. This next person I want to talk about was brought to my attention by my really good friend, Courtney, who lives in the East Coast right now. She lives in Maryland. And, Sobia Ahmed is a immigrant, a Muslim, and a female artist located in D.C. right now. She's an interdisciplinary artist whose practices focus on autobiographical and conceptual videos, photographs, and mixed-media paintings that explore the themes of identity and belonging. This is from her website. I didn't want to, like, paraphrase it and get it and butcher it. But she was born and raised in Pakistan, and she moved to the U.S. at the age of 14. Her work references her struggles of immigration, histories of colonialism and feminism and religion, and her latest project is what I want to talk about right now. It's so fucking amazing. Her latest project is called Small Identities, Muslim Immigrants. It's a Muslim Immigrants Installation Project. And what this project is, it's an investigation of the shared experience of the community against the backdrop of the current political upheaval. It's a play on both words and ideas. It uses ID photos of all these immigrants. It says it may be seen as a direct reference from the Trump administration's Muslim ban, but also alludes to the issues of politicizing identities and racial profiling. And so she uses these ID photos, and she kind of, I don't know what the, she transfers them onto these Islamic shaped ceramic tiles. And then she puts these tiles together, and it's meant to be displayed as a large wall installation. Please check the link out and see what it looks like visually, because my words don't do it justice. It's so overwhelmingly beautiful seeing it all together, and there's all these different faces that are transferred onto these tiles, because architecture and art is a huge part of Islamic life, and these tiles, for whatever reason, really, like, bring out that culture and that history, and coupled with
this cool.
with this kind of, cause she says in 2016, she began collecting passport size ID photos of her relatives, her friends, her colleagues, and acquaintances that are Muslim immigrants to the United States or that identify as part of the community through their families. So every time a Muslim immigrant tells her that they're hesitant to submit their ID photos due to their fear of harassment or hatred, she adds an empty tile to the project to represent them because they are here and they are not invisible. In a mass of ID photos and Islamic tiles, individuals are lost, and what remains is a group identity disparaged at the hands of politicians. And this project is still ongoing, but she's going to display it for the first time at the Common Ground Gallery at Viz Arts in Rockville, Maryland in February 2018. It's so amazing. I fucking love you, Sobia. Like, what you're doing is so amazing and it's inspiring, and I commend you for what you're doing. I kind of checked out the rest of your art on your website, and you're so amazing. I love that you're using your time and your effort to give back to your community and make us not invisible. And, everyone should check her out, follow her on Instagram, just see what she's up to. And if any of you guys are living in the East Coast or near Rockville, Maryland, check out her, display, February 2018. It's going to be you can find all the information on her website, but the Common Ground Gallery in Rockville, Maryland is going to have her display for the first time. So she's going to collect all of these things and have this beautiful wall filled with tiles that I can only imagine will be so beautiful. I wanted to give a really big fucking shout out and digital hug to this person that I don't even know, but I feel like I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're in Maryland, go check it out. Just drive there, whatever. Maryland's small, right?
Yeah, it's like a...
It's not that small, but it's small enough.
Pinky size.
One last thing, or I don't know if it's one last thing, we'll see. This is, I know, we're so hostile towards Israel all the time, I want to give them a shout out. I mean, don't get excited, okay, I'm not Team Israel, but they've started a bloody hour at this Israeli bar that gives a discount for women on their period.
The fuck?
So, initiative to show solidarity, according to BBC, with menstruating women, a bar in Israel decided to give them 25% discount on drinks.
And how do you prove that you're on your period?
It's a basis. It's given on a basis of trust. So, at the bloody hour, you can get 25% off if you.
Sounds like a.
I mean, they just want basically the subject of menstruation to be more openly discussed, including by men. So, I mean, I think it's a great thing because I feel like being on your period is so, like, you can't, like, talk about it if you're like, oh, my period started. You have to, like, whisper it to be like,
yeah.
Hey, do you have a tampon? And it's like, stupid. It's so natural. Like,
I literally had a
male friend who shit his pants. Like, he literally had to shit on the street this weekend because he ate something so bad he could not make it home. And he's going to kill me for talking about this, but whatever.
You didn't say his name.
No, he doesn't live in L.A. either, so it's fine. He was just visiting, but figure out who it was. So he had to shit his pants on the street, and he was telling everyone. He was being like, yeah, you know, I'd shit my pants, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there being like, if I was going around telling people I shit on the street, they'd be like, Anna's a dirty person. And so I don't like that weird, like, double standard where it's, like, funny and a joke, and it's a good time if he did it. It's a great story, man. But, like, I don't like that. And it should be able to be like, yeah, I had to shit on the street because I ate something that was so nar-nar, my body
are talking about periods,
could not
Anna?
Stop. I'm just saying in general that, like, you can't... For women, it's so much harder to talk about our bodily functions. Like, it's, like, looked down upon. And that's not okay.
Yeah, I agree
I'm a
you.
Fucking human. You're a human. You shit your pants. I bleed out of my puss. Like, it is what it is. And I shouldn't have to be made to feel weird about it. I should be able to walk into her and be like, who's got the tampons? Instead of being like, hey, girl, can you meet me over here? Yeah, do you have a tampon on you? Like, that's some trash. I should be able to walk into any room I want, ask dudes if they have a tampon by, I don't know, maybe they do. But, like,
well,
just,
I mean, it
shouldn't be.
It pisses me off because condoms are given out for free, and why aren't tampons? Until recently, tampons had a luxury tax. Like, there were, like, tampons and pads were, like, a luxury item because this country is stupid, and it thinks that having your period is this, like, thing that we choose to do, and having a fucking way to prevent our blood from going everywhere is a luxury thing.
Yeah.
But it is, but no, you're right, because I feel like talking about your period is even more taboo, like, than a guy talking about, like, jacking off or, like, something even more, like, just, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's so stupid.
It is really stupid. And people say I'm, like, way too open about my problems, and it's like, no, I'm working towards a completely progressive society.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always like, I have UTI. I have this.
I have that.
My pussy's bleeding. My pussy itches. Okay, I don't ever really say that. I don't actually talk like that all the time, but just mostly just on the podcast. But I like to be open about it. Like,
no, I like that
my period
style.
Started at a party the other day, and I told all my friends I had to go because my period started. Like, guy and girlfriends. I don't give a shit. It's like, I have to go. My period just started.
Yeah.
And I got a riggedy roll. And I don't want to fucking be made to feel any sort of way about that because I'm a woman and I should be able to talk about my body because my body is beautiful. My body, it looks like... I mean, it looks like it could use some work, but like...
No, your body is beautiful.
It looks like I bought a stationary bike for my house and only have used it like 10 times when I should have used it 40 times so
far. You go on hikes like more than anyone else I know.
I've stopped going on hikes because I work 40 hours a week now producing fucking podcasts.
When we're both not working, can we hike again, please?
Sure.
Because I need to hike so bad.
I need to stop getting dark so early.
I know. What the shit is
happening?
I just
don't have time. People are like, no, Anna, don't go on that trail. There's coyotes after dark. They'll eat you. And I'm like, shit. You're right. They will eat me.
They'll smell the blood in your
tampon. Yeah, they'll smell
my
bloody puss. And they'll be like, yum, 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 dinner time. I should probably stop swimming in the ocean too, huh?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
But I love a good period swim. And that's the other thing. I should be able to go into anyone's pool on my period. Okay, I'll stop. Don't worry. I'm not out here on my period in your pool yet.
But it is interesting that this Israeli bar is calling it Bloody Hour. It almost sounds like a Halloween gag.
It's like Happy Hour, Bloody Hour.
Oh. Like, we can't be bloody and happy? No, I'm kidding. We can't.
You want to call it the Bloody Happy Hour? Then it sounds British.
The bloody happy hour.
So yeah, one step towards progressivity for women.
Yeah,
one step to a bloody future for women. Honestly, the day we can stop wearing tampons and just bleed all over ourselves will be the day we finally made it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit much and I probably won't do that because I have like a really weird like germaphobe thing, but like we'll see. We'll see
our bodies are pretty wild though. Like, I remember, I mean, they talk about this in an episode of Big Mouth, which I recommended to you last week. It's a mm-hmm. cartoon on Netflix, but when you learn about reproductive health in middle school or whatever you do, like guys are taught this like, oh, in puberty, your voice will get deeper and you're gonna have hair and acne and yada yada yada. And girls, you're gonna be in pain.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I feel like we're not even taught to even explore or like understand our bodies in a sexual way. And so that makes us kind of disgusted by them because there's like this thing that brings us pain. Maybe it's just me. Something that's kind of funny that I want to talk about, there's a hashtag started on Saudi Twitter. It was a question and it said, will you, it popped up as a trending topic on Saudi Twitter sphere earlier this week. The question was, would you accept marrying a female doctor?
What?
Yeah. It was, one Arab man felt compelled to discuss a more important topic because he just felt it was something worth talking about. And then what was amazing, Saudi and Arab women all over the place fired back. And there was just like compilation of all their responses. And it's pretty funny. Like one of them was like, it's 2017 and men still care what we think, or 7 years studying plus training, residency and more to become a damn good doctor. And you think she'll marry you?
Ugh. Faux real.
And some other people were saying, the hashtag should be a female doctor wants to marry you. When will the stupidity end? It basically is just, I don't know. I didn't even realize Saudi Twitter was a thing until this whole thing erupted. But it's kind of disgusting that, men are so outraged at the mere thought of a female doctor touching another man, or others concerned that their wives are being intelligently superior than them. And one even went so far as to suggest that it's rare to find a female doctor that can also cook. So, fuck y'all. Doctors are great. My sister's a doctor. I know plenty of female doctors that own it. Mm-hmm. And y'all would be lucky to marry one or even touch one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Booyah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shireen?
Wait, no! That's last thing. The one more thing I want to talk about that was sent to me by my mom. So there's this guy in Aleppo that has been gathering neglected cats because of the war.
Oh, that's cute. We gotta talk about this.
Yeah. Because of the war, all these cats have been neglected and kind of, they have nowhere to go. And so this guy in Aleppo has been taking care of them for the last 6 years. He's been dubbed as Aleppo's cat man. And there's a video of him just surrounded by cats. Oh my God, please click this video.
It is. It's very cute.
It's so beautiful, and people are still good and they exist in the world, and he's just taking care of all these cats for the last whatever how many years, 6-7 years, and these cats love him because this is like their new papa, and they're all just like climbing on
papa.
They're all just climbing on him.
Daddy.
They're just so sweet, and it just gives me some faith in humanity and the world. Because I don't know what it is, but I fucking love cats and animals. And I think someone that takes care of an animal is a really good person. And this video is so fucking cute. It's so cute. These cats are just like nuzzling him. And they're just like, oh! And there are a lot of cats in Syria.
Yeah.
I remember being in Syria and walking around, and there are cats everywhere. So the fact that there's someone taking care of them just really makes me feel good. And some of these cats are like kittens. Like, some of them are so small. So I wanted to end on that because it really does make me feel better. And I recommend everyone just watching this video if you feel down, or just feel anything, because it'll make you feel good and feel like there's real meaning in the world and people take care of people.
Meow.
And cats.
Meow. Your co-host is now a cat.
Meow.
Patterson. Rawr. Wait, what's that
meow
joke?
What?
Miles Jabrani had like a joke, like Persian meow, like a cat. Never mind.
I'm sorry, who?
Miles.
Just what if I got super offended? I'm
what'd
sorry.
You call
who
me
the fuck?
So that's it for this episode. I know it was kind of a random run where we like jumped around, but you know, life's random and we jump around. Jump around! We jump up, get there.
Shireen, are you gonna bite that ass?
I bite that ass.
Okay.